Bus.
I'm Nate Puderbaugh, their sports update. The first round of the NHL draft was last night. With the 14th overall pick, the Blue Jackets selected Boston College forward Oscar Hemming. The draft continues today. The Blue Jackets have six more picks beginning in the third round. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Pirates last night 6-4 on the back of a two-run shot from Nuelve Marte in the eighth inning. They square off again today at 4:05. Catch the action right here on The Fan. The Guardians fell at home last night to the Seattle Mariners 3-1. The Guardians have now lost four of their last five. They try to get back on track tonight at 7:10. Late last night at the World Cup, Egypt beat Iran 1-0 to advance past the group stage for the first time, and Belgium blew out New Zealand 5-1. Busy day at the World Cup today. Croatia faces Ghana, and Panama squares off with England at 5. Colombia and Portugal and Congo and Uzbekistan face off at 7:30, and Algeria and Austria along with Jordan and Argentina in the nightcap. Breaking sports news and weapons, The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
This is Tee to Green, Central Ohio's premier golf show. Now here's your host, recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Southern Ohio PGA of America and Hall of Fame, The Fan's own Skip Mossick.
And hi again, everybody. Good morning. Welcome into another edition of Tee to Green here on The Fan. Weather a little soggy this morning, but you should be able to get it in if there are some golf plans here on your Saturday. Another very busy week in the golf world. The PGA Tour, fresh off the U.S. Open, is outside of Hartford with another signature event. We will head there shortly and visit with longtime golf writer Gary Van Sickle. After a long countdown, we are all set for the U.S. Senior Open Championship next week at Scioto. We'll catch up with former Buckeye Ryan Armour playing this weekend in New York as he gets set to tee it up in the Senior Open next week. This was a very big news week for the PGA Tour as CEO and future commissioner Brian Rolapp spelled out what the tour will look like in 2028 with a new two-tiered series. We'll hear some of what Rolapp rolled out coming up later this hour. And as always, we have another terrific golf prize package to give away with the golf out at the Virtues, balls from Titleist, another great item from the PGA Tour Superstore, and more. We'll have details on that shortly. But we will begin this week with former Buckeye All-American, national champion, and OSU Hall of Famer John Cook, who's working the Champions Tour event this weekend for Golf Channel. And Cookie, good morning. Let's begin with your thoughts on the U.S. Open last week at Shinnecock. Did the weekend play out the way you thought it might, with Wyndham Clark holding on for the W?
Well, I think it did, Skip, and thanks again for having me on. But, I was in Connecticut doing featured group stuff, so I was keeping a keen eye on everything. I had great featured groups every day, and then had two on Saturday. One of the groups was actually Jackson Koivin and Miles Russell, so that was kind of fun. To showcase those two young talents in the future of golf. But, you know, Shinnecock kind of reared its head, and it finished exactly what you would think. There were three players under par, four under one by a shot, and there was one other player under par. So it kind of held true to the history of Shinnecock. First couple days, you know, weren't too terribly difficult. The wind did blow, and the wind didn't blow hardly at all on Sunday. So Shinnecock played true to itself, and the USGA got to commend them for the foresight on setting the golf course up and prepping the golf course Thursday and Friday to allow players to play, not get embarrassed. And then Saturday and Sunday, they just said, Shinnecock, it's up to you now. So, yeah, I congratulate Wyndham Clark. He's done it before. It was difficult. It's hard to win a golf tournament, especially a U.S. Open. And Wyndham did what he needed to do down the stretch and, kind of relied on that past experience. And it was great to have him win again. He's had a wonderful season, you know, second win of the year. He's gone through some ups and downs. We all know about that, you know, last year and, you know, maybe a bit the year before, but he's rallied and pulled himself together. I got to commend him. I mean, it's not easy to win, especially when this game can beat you up like it can, especially at this, you know, high level professional golf. It's not all roses. It's not all candy and roses all the time. It's just not. Everybody's going to have down times and kind of, you know, almost outside your body type of thinking. and commend Wyndham Clark for a job well done.
You mentioned the things he had to overcome. That included the fans. I mean, we talked to a couple of reporters last week about, you know, how the galleries didn't exactly embrace Wyndham Clark. I mean, look, John, I mean, his tantrums have been childish. You know, I don't like that part about him either at all. But were some of the fans, I guess, overboard in their treatment? Were, you know, you now have some on the heels of last year's Ryder Cup questioning if pro golf needs to stay away from New York entirely.
I mean, you hate to say it, but, you know, what happened at Bethpage was uncalled for. What happened on Saturday and Sunday, mostly on Sunday, also uncalled for. And, you know, some of these entitled, arrogant punks just think they're allowed that ticket that they have is a verbal abuse ticket. Well, it's not. This game is so far above all that. And you're going to have to expect that, you know, if you get caught doing something like this, well, you're never invited back again. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, I called them, you know, entitled, arrogant punks because that's exactly what they are. And when it starts to get personal, Skip, that's where I draw the line. Hey, you can root for your guy. You can, you know, at the Ryder Cup, you can, you know, cheer a missed putt or whatever. But when it starts getting personal, I mean, that's where you draw the line. And I think it started getting personal with Wyndham. No call for, no need for that. Does not need to ever happen. You'd hate to eliminate the couple great golf courses that are on Long Island or in the New York area, metropolitan area, because there's some wonderful golf courses and historic, sure, iconic golf courses. And you'd hate to have to eliminate that for, you know, a few bad apples.
We're chatting with former Buckeye John Cook this morning, tee to green here on The Fan. And, John, back to the USGA. You primarily cover the PGA Tour champions. That's what you're doing this weekend for Golf Channel. U.S. Senior Open is next week here in Columbus at Scioto Country Club. When you look at the Champions Tour so far this season, boy, it's been Stewart Cink really dominating. Would you expect him to be the clear favorite next week at Scioto, or are there a couple other guys that say, hey, wait a minute, don't take your eye off these fellas?
Well, yeah, actually, I think Zach Johnson will have something to say about this. And but Stewart Cink is playing beautifully, has all year, hasn't been out of the top 10 in any of his starts, has 4 wins. We know Scioto. It's marvelous. And it's got length. It's got big greens with sections that you have to hit the ball into. And he hits it straight up in the air and he smashes it. I think it's tailor made for Stewart Cink. Zach Johnson hits it very straight and actually has some sneaky power as well. We know what he can do with wedges and short game. He knows the golf course. He's been there a couple of times. I've talked to him a bit about it and they asked if I had played it. And I did play it last summer, with Rick Germain and a group of guys. And I enjoyed it. I absolutely loved it. I've loved Scioto since the first time I stepped onto it, you know, years ago when we were in college. And they were so kind enough to let us come out and play, you know, a couple times a month. And, it's one of the OGs of Columbus. It really is. Yeah. It's just very, very special. I think the guys are going to like it. Some of the greens are complicated. I'll give them that. But tee to green is fantastic. And it fits Stewart Cink's game. He couldn't build a better golf course for himself than Scioto.
Again, we've documented the great history there at Scioto Country Club. So many major championships, the Ryder Cup. They'll also host the USAM 10 years from now. John, is your USAM still one of your career highlights? And, you know, heck, you almost won it a second time.
Yeah, Skip, it really is. The NCAA's there at Ohio State was, you know, that's why I went to school there. That's why I was so proud to represent the institution. And that's the reason we all went there, was to bring back Big Ten championships and a national championship. The U.S. Amateur to me, I qualified when I was 16 at Ridgewood in 1974, played again in 77 at Aronimink. Was fortunate enough to outlast everybody the next year at Plainfield, and then outlasted everybody, but One guy had a little bit of a say in this. My great old buddy, Mark O'Mara, from our teenage years, kind of walked me in pretty early. But, it holds a very special place in my heart. And, you know, I played in 23 U.S. Opens, made 17 cuts, Had a handful of top tens and top and like 10 top 20s. So it was very special to me as well. So it the USAM is very, very special to me. Very, very proud of that.
Well, John, last thing, was curious to get your thoughts on what the PGA Tour rolled out earlier this week with the upcoming, two series model beginning in 28 with the Championship and Challenger Series. What's to like and, maybe not to like, if there is anything, about what pro golf on the PGA Tour will look like here in a year and a half?
Yeah, it's, I actually listened to, Brian Rolapp. I did watch the press conference and the announcement, and I just let him, kind of play out, and he was answering some questions. I think on the one hand, I don't mind it. There's ample room for players to improve their position, to keep their position on the championship series. They'll take 90. There's 120 players, I think, each week with cuts. And if you're not on the championship series, you're on the challenger series, you have ways, pathways to get back to, where you want to be. On the other hand, to me, I'm a little skeptical of at least 20 to 25 events at minimum $20 million. How they're going to fill that schedule with sponsors going in for 30 or 40 million a clip, that's a little optimistic to me that there's that many great corporations, and there are great corporations. We've had wonderful sponsors on the PGA Tour and its entities for a very, very long time. I'm just a little skeptical that they're going to find 25 of them to spend that much money each and every single year to be part of that. And where do you draw the line on, where they're going to play? There's some great cities that have more than one.
Sure.
Great golf course and events. And the state of Texas has, four or five great events. Florida, the same. Ohio. Where do you draw the line on who's in and who's out? And then what happens to those that don't make it? And now they're with a, $4 million to $5 million event, which is nothing to sneeze at.
Sure.
But, maybe their money's better spent that way. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. That's up to the CEOs and the board and, where they want to go of all these great corporations that we have in the United States. RBC, they've got the Canadian Open. Where does that fit? That's the National Open.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Harbortown, the Heritage Classic? Now, they have two. Are they going to spend upwards of $70 to $80 million for being the RBC sponsor of two events? I don't know. It's pretty optimistic to me, Skip.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee that those guys are going to play in all those championship series events that those sponsors have to pony up all that money to either.
Correct.
Correct indeed. And, as they say, we will all find out together. Former Buckeye great, OSU All-American National Champion and Hall of Famer John Cook. Cookie, as always, thank you so much for your time. We'll be watching for you on Golf Channel later today, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you, Skip. Anytime, my friend. Go Bucks.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's happening this week on the various tours as we get you warmed up with some chip shots.
97.1 The Fan's Tee to Green Chip Shots, presented by BMI Federal Credit Union.
Signature events on the PGA Tour, TPC River Highlands, the venue outside of Hartford. Quite the day for Scottie Scheffler on Friday with a putt to break 60 on his final hole. Scheffler is at minus 16, leads by two. Scottie says conditions Friday were ripe for scoring.
Well, like you said, the conditions were really good this morning. Softer golf course, not as much wind. Going out yesterday in the afternoon, it can get when the greens get firm out here and the wind starts to blow, it can get tricky pretty quickly. And going out this morning, you definitely had a feeling the conditions were going to be easier, and so we need to go out there and try and take advantage of them.
Two back of Scheffler, alone in second and minus 14, is Victor Hovland, who also went low Friday with a 61. Hovland says it was great to see a lot of hard work paying off.
Yeah, it was awesome stuff today. Obviously been kind of battling some stuff, my golf swing, and not felt all that comfortable. But you know, I felt like things stabilized a lot more today, and I was able to putt the ball in the fairway, hit some great iron shots, and putter finally cooperated a little bit more today. So it was overall just a great round of golf.
Four back of Scheffler at minus 12 are Eric Cole and Akshay Bhatia. Bhatia saying a lot came together for him Friday in his career low round of 62.
Yeah, hit it nice off the tee. Feel like I hit a lot of good golf shots. And yeah, putted really nice, made some long ones. Did that kind of similar to yesterday. And I know how this golf course can play. And, you know, you got to kind of keep making birdies and try and limit mistakes. And I did a nice job of that today.
A lot of great scores expected coming up this weekend, but again, all chasing your leader, Scottie Scheffler, at 16 under par. Scheffler, again, leads by two. Elsewhere this week, PGA Tour champions in Endicott, New York, Dickie Pride is at minus 9, leads by two. Former Buckeye Ryan Armour, who we'll hear from later this hour, is at even par. DP World Tour is in Italy. Joaquin Niemann, minus 17, your leader there by three. Korn Ferry Tour in Springfield, Will Cannon, minus 16, leads by one. Former Buckeye Maxwell Maldivahn is six back at minus 10, but playing well. PGA Tour Americas in Wichita, Jack London and Corey Pereira, minus 11. They lead there by one. LPGA is in Minnesota, Ina Yoon, minus 12. She leads by five. Former Buckeye Jessica Provoznik is at plus one. Your leaderboards are brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit them today at BMIFCU.org. Coming up, more on last week's U.S. Open and much more if there is anything to like or dislike about what the PGA Tour tiered system will look like in 2028. We'll discuss that with longtime golf writer Gary Van Sickle next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few. Live or on demand, you have no excuses. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We saw some rain this morning, and it will return later this afternoon with a little bit of a break for some sunshine. It will be humid today, and it will continue into the later parts of this week. Rain chances return late tonight with some heavier rain in some of our southern counties, but that leads into a warm Sunday tomorrow with isolated showers throughout the afternoon. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldrich, with 97.1 The Fan.
Yeah, 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 sure. You're a 20 handicap when there's money on the line. A sandbagger's paradise. You're listening to Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan.
And welcome back, everybody. Good morning. As always, thank you for tuning in. We have another great golf prize package to give away this week. We have a beautiful new rangefinder from the folks up at the PGA Tour Superstore. We have a round of golf to go play out at the Virtues. Balls from our friends at Titleist. Plenty of fan goodies to throw in there for you this week as well. No Twitter or X contest this week, so stay tuned. We'll have details on this week's giveaway shortly and your chance to make this great prize package yours.
This is Backspin. Tee to Green. Backspin.
Joined for a few minutes now by longtime golf writer Gary Van Sickle. You can read him now on First Call. And Gary, let's begin with your thoughts on the U.S. Open at Shinnecock and, you know, specifically the treatment of eventual champion Wyndham Clark. I'll admit I'm not a fan of his. I know some of his childish behavior in the past kind of led to this, but were things over the top and just too much in your opinion? I guess why or why not?
Yeah, I think it was too much. I mean, name another golf tournament you've been to where people were effectively, essentially booing the guy who won. You don't hear boos at golf tournament unless it's the Ryder Cup. So it was kind of shocking that these people would be still upset over something that happened a year ago. But, you know, it's like the one thing your average person knows about Wyndham Clark. Ah, yeah, he kicked in a couple lockers at Oakmont and may or may not have made amends. According to the club, he has made amends, but they still are not thrilled with him. So I was very surprised about the animosity. I don't think it was just because people wanted to see Scottie Scheffler win get the career Grand Slam. I think it was just, hey, I read about this guy. He sounds like a jerk. Ah, you know, you paid your money, you have a license to do it, say whatever you want. I mean, it kind of matches the loss of decorum we have in society and at other sporting events. You didn't think it was going to come to golf, but apparently it has. And I don't think it's just a New York problem. I think it goes on other places. We're just less civil than we used to be, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned New York. You mentioned the Ryder Cup. I mean, on the heels of last year's Ryder Cup, this has some questioning if events near New York need to be avoided altogether. I mean, have we gotten to that point?
Well, yeah. Eamon Lynch of Golf Channel, a former colleague of mine at Golf Magazine, he said they shouldn't go back. The people in New York are a stain. On Long Island are a stain. And I can just picture some Sopranos-type guy going, "Hey, Rico, the guy thinks we're a stain. Why don't turn him into a stain. And, yeah, on the way back, pick up some cannoli." So that's a little extreme, but what is the answer? Can other tournaments, the Masters has solved the problem because those tickets are so coveted that you got to behave or you're out. I mean, you're not allowed to run at the Masters. You can't sit down on the ground at the Masters. Somebody will come over and tell you to stand up. They have a whole list of rules you have to abide by. You can't bring your cell phone. I think the other majors and probably all the PGA Tour events, maybe you're going to have to toughen up and start kicking people out a lot the very first day of an event to send the message that we're not going to put up with yelling mashed potatoes and this other nonsense, whether it's animosity toward an individual player or just, you know, get in the hole. People just want to hear their voice on TV, I guess. I don't really understand it, but I don't think the people doing this are really golfers. They're just casual fans who come out and maybe have a few too many beverages. But I don't know what the answer is, but I just don't need to hear mashed potatoes again. I don't know how you feel.
I don't like mashed potatoes anyways. Gary Van Sickle, our guest this morning, Tee to Green here on The Fan. And Gary, as far as the venue itself there at Shinnecock and the USGA setup, I know they will always be under the microscope, but at the end, there were, three players under par on a very difficult golf course. Did the USGA get it right, in your opinion?
It seems like it. There was no any disaster on one hole. The 7th green was playable. The 17th green was playable. They had very windy conditions the first three rounds. And even the final round, it was supposed to be kind of calm, but it was still kind of breezy. But it was so firm, that was the challenge. You give these guys, that's the only thing that slows down guys on the PGA Tour, Skip. You know, they're so good that if it's firm, the wind is really the only defense. And they had wind. Without it, I mean, even with it, look, Corey Pavin, we all remember back in 95, was it, where he hit the forward shot to the final green? Mm-hmm. Well, we saw Sahith Theegala with a 60-yard flip wedge into the 18th green. So without the wind and without it, you know, part of it's because it's firm and the ball was rolling out. And Bryson DeChambeau had a 427-yard drive. It was firm without the wind. I Shinnecock might have got exposed a little bit, but yeah, I think it proved that as far as the golf course is, if you got wind, it's a major championship venue. Maybe our best one for the Open. Without the wind, it might not be. But the problem is the logistics getting there and back is really the main problem. It's way out in the end of Long Island, and you saw it Saturday when they had late tee times. And the leaders come to 18 at 8:15 in the evening, and it's the U.S. Open. There's like nobody in the stands, right. Nobody standing. I mean, everybody had to go home. So that was a bad luck. I thought that was the one thing they got wrong. The late times on Saturday, the fans had to run and catch a train to get back to New York, and that looked like a Champions Tour event on 18, and it's the U.S. Open. That was embarrassing, I thought.
Well, speaking of champions, speaking of major championships, the U.S. Senior Open is next week here in Columbus at Scioto Country Club. Gary, just your thoughts and memories of Scioto, you know, and all your times over here.
Scioto has always been a great place. I've been lucky enough to play it a few times. It always kicks my butt. You try to avoid the bunkers, but you just can't. I mean, I go out there and if I'm not in at least 6 greenside bunkers, that was probably my average when I play there. So it's a tremendous course. It's got a great range. It's a great club to be at, it looks like. I mean, it's got this cool clubhouse with all the old photos inside, all the stuff you would expect at a venue like that with all the history and Jack Nicklaus. It's just a cool spot to be in. I know the seniors are going to not only love the golf course, but they're going to be severely challenged by it. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to come over for a couple days and check it out. So it's probably not long enough for the PGA Tour, but it should be a great test for the seniors. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Gary, major PGA Tour news this past week with the unveiling of the two-tiered system that will be in place beginning in 28 with the Championship and Challenger Series. I mean, tons of questions, I know, but just overall, your initial thoughts on all of this, and is it good for the tour and professional golf moving forward?
Well, I guess I'm a curmudgeon, Skip, because I don't like anything about it. You've basically created a super tour for the top 90 or 100 guys. And these other 20 events, I don't know how they're going to decide which ones are going to be signature events and which ones aren't, but it's probably going to come down to money. So you're going to take tournaments like, say, the John Deere. This last year, they probably had the first prize was probably $3.2 million or something. You're going to tell me they're going to get a second-tier event, and now first prize is going to be $720,000? Hmm. You just turned 20 of the PGA Tour events into the Korn Ferry Tour. Now, because so good luck finding sponsors, maybe they will, but now, are you going to tell me they're going to keep doing the Korn Ferry Tour in addition to this? You've already got, the second tier events are going to become the Korn Ferry. And the Korn Ferry Tour, I don't know, what's the point of going there? All you can do is get promoted to the second tier where, you know, you'd have to win five times equal the prize money you get if you won in the big tier. So I don't like it. You're taking golf away from a lot of communities that have served it. And I don't think Brian Rolapp understands, the commissioner and the CEO understands, that a big part of the PGA Tour, the courses themselves and the tournament names are also stars. We know the tournament names. We know the courses they play at. That's part of why we watch. And you all of a sudden go, well, we got to go to Chicago and Philadelphia and Seattle. Well, if a sponsor had come forward, they would have been there. So why do you want to throw away? To me, the system wasn't broken. It only became broken when Commissioner Jay Monahan overreacted to the LIV threat and jacked the purses up to unsustainable levels to match LIV. And that's the wrench that sent the tour down this new path. Now they're for profit. They had to bring in some investment people, and they're the ones calling the shots. And look, we only want tournaments with big names. We don't want everybody else. Well, that's not how this PGA Tour empire was built. It was built on the rank and file guys giving everybody a chance to win and play in a meritocracy. And now you've turned it into kind of a closed shop and much less of a meritocracy. And it's way too heavily weighted at the top. It'll probably work because it'll be a better TV show, I guess. But personally, I'm not in favor of it, but pretty sure nobody cares what I think about that, Skip.
Well, we care what you think about it. Gary Van Sickle, longtime golf writer. You can read him now on First Call. Gary, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll see you here in town at Scioto next week, okay?
That's great, Skip. See you there.
All right, coming up, we're really looking forward to next week's U.S. Senior Open here at Scioto Country Club. It'll be a homecoming for former Buckeye Ryan Armour, who qualified a couple of weeks ago. Ryan's playing this weekend at the Champions Tour event in New York and will join us next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Delaware County.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Buttery cuts and making putts. Sometimes you're listening to Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
And welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. We have another great golf prize package this week. Included in that, a beautiful new rangefinder from our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore. A round of golf to go play up at the Virtues. Balls from our friends at Titleist. Plenty of Fan goodies with throw in there for you this week as well. No Twitter or X contest anymore, so stay tuned. We'll have details on this week's giveaway shortly and your chance to help make this great prize package yours.
You are listening to Tee to Green's On the Range.
Joined on the range up in Endicott, New York, the site of this weekend's PGA Tour Champions event by former Buckeye Ryan Armour, who will be teeing it up at next week's U.S. Senior Open here at Scioto. We'll get into that in just a moment. But Ryan, first up, thanks for joining us. Let's begin with the last couple of seasons for you. I mean, I know it's challenging for many on tour when they reach their late 40s. You turned 50 in February. What has the transition and jumping into the PGA Champions circuit been like for you?
I was not prepared, Skip. I had spent a lot of time in hockey rinks and basketball gyms over that last probably 6-7 months before I turned 50, and probably had not given my full attention to my craft. I was busy with my sons and enjoying it. So I feel like I'm in a better place now after I've had hockey season ended in March, and I feel like I'm in a lot better place now.
You know, how does the status work, Ryan? I mean, once you become eligible in regards to, you know, events, how many you're able to play and how well you need to perform just to, in order to set your own schedule?
That's a great question. It's always changing. I am a member of the tour, of the Champions Tour, based off my win back at Sanderson Farms on the PGA Tour. So I'm an automatic member. However, that doesn't qualify me to set a schedule. It just gives me membership, and I fall down kind of a pecking order because we only play 78 every week on normal events. Majors are obviously different, sure. But normal events like here up at the Dick's Open in New York, we have 78 players, and it just comes off, you know, who wants to play and who doesn't want to play, and then it goes down from there.
I always like asking guys this question. Is it nice to be playing with people your own age as opposed to, you know, the young guns out on the PGA and Corn Ferry tours?
I don't, you know, I always laugh about it too. You know, the last 2 years have been really challenging trying to put together some Corn Ferry, some PGA Tour events just to stay sharp. And, you know, you go out there and, you know, you're playing 530-yard par fours, and now I'm playing 530-yard par fives. So it's definitely a little, you know, different, but everyone plays good out here. Everyone practices hard, and you got to put your time in.
We're chatting with former Buckeye Ryan Armour this morning, tee to green here on The Fan. And Ryan, aside from the PGA Tour Champions, you qualified for next week's Senior Open here at Scioto. Congrats on that. But tell us about your memories of Scioto from, you know, your time here at Ohio State and even after that. And I guess, have you seen it since the latest restoration?
Yeah, Scioto's always been really good to Buckeye golfers. When I was in school, it was kind of a home away from home because it was so close to campus. I'd go over and play with a lot of the assistants and a lot of the caddies as often as I could, just because I enjoyed it so much. And then I actually drove into town this past weekend before I went up to New York and got a chance to play Saturday, the restoration. I had not seen it. Tee to Green has not changed as much as the green complexes have. And the Humphreys family, Brooks and Max and Rocco, were nice enough to play with me, and they've played a lot of rounds around there, so they were trying to give me some knowledge, and it was just a really enjoyable day to be back there. And it's going to be a test, Skip. I mean, the rough's up, the greens are fast, and there's a lot of slope in the greens.
Any advantage for you at all with familiarity, Ryan, even though it has been restored?
There might be. Maybe when I'm driving from the house I rented in Short North, there might be. But, you know, once you go there and peg it on the first tee, I think all that familiarity goes away because, as I said, the greens have changed so much. There is little stuff that I do remember, you know, kind of the whole property goes back towards that first green, second tee. So if you're in doubt of a read, everything, or speed-wise, everything kind of flows that way. And so I picked up on some things where, you know, you might not be hitting some drivers off holes that I used to hit drivers just because of the speed of the fairways. So it was good to get up there, you know, last weekend and see it.
Aside from trying to win a major championship, I know you were just here, but what are you looking forward to the most about, you know, coming back to Central Ohio? I guess either people or food or restaurant, of course, coming back to town.
I just miss it. I miss the people. I miss the vibe of being around Ohio State. Friday I got into town. I went out to Scarlet right away and was chatting with Brian Kelly out there and, you know, just hung out for three and a half hours on the range and just kind of soaking it all in and missing seeing Scarlet and Gray everywhere.
Ryan, last thing. I know you don't have to worry about this stuff anymore, but as someone who spent time on the Players Advisory Board, was really curious to get your thoughts on the PGA Tour's new structure that they rolled out this week with the, you know, the two-tiered championship and challenger series. What you think the players may like and maybe dislike, and heck, how it might have benefited you the last couple of seasons?
Well, I'm looking at it as a positive. I think it's going to provide more opportunities for more players. The way the PGA Tour, how they had shrunk the fields this year down, you know, they're only playing, what, 72 up in Hartford this week. And now you're going to have 120 in those events, those 20, whatever, that 17, say, championship series events, and you're going to have 23 challenger events, and you're going to have 144 in those. So right there, you're at 164 players playing for over $4 million every time they tee it up. I think that's great for golf. I think if you're complaining going to play a tournament for $4 million, you better check yourself at the door. And, you know, you better be happy where you are and always working hard to get further. But, you know, everyone wants to play at the highest level. Well, now they have defined what the highest level is going to be on the PGA Tour. And let's be honest, Skip, we've always had invitationals on the PGA Tour. You know, you're at Memorial every year. That is a really, really hard field to get into in the old days when we, you know, when Mr. Nicklaus played 90 and then he went to 120. It was always a hard field to get into.
Sure.
So, you know, we've always had different levels on the PGA Tour. Now it's just more defined. I'm anxious to see how it plays out and how the communities and the media are able to support. They're going to have to do a really good job of defining that challenger series to make sure people want to come out and watch.
Right.
And that to me, I hope they don't lose the fan bases that so many communities I've been to throughout my career support the PGA Tour. And I mean, and let's face it, that's what we love. We love having the crowds on site and, you know, the media involved with what we do.
That is former Buckeye Ryan Armour. Ryan, we always appreciate your insight and your time. You play well this weekend up in New York, and we look forward to seeing you back here in town at Scioto next week, okay?
All right. Thank you, Skip. Go Bucks.
All right, let's go ahead and give away this week's golf prize package right now. We have another really cool gift from the PGA Tour Superstore, one of their brand new range finders. How cool is that? We also have a round of golf out at the Virtues, some balls from our friends at Titleist, some fan goodies. Caller 9 right now, 614-821-9710, 614-821-9710. Caller 9, if you or any member of your household has not won in the past 30 days, good luck. Coming up, we will hear some of what PGA Tour CEO Brian Rolapp's press conference from earlier this week and the plans for the PGA Tour beginning in 2028. That is next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
Only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination. Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good, clean boy. Moonlights as man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. He may be short off the tee, but he can sure use his putter. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
And welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. Congratulations to Charles in Columbus. Charles was caller number 9, picks up the beautiful new rangefinder from our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore. We'll be back up there in a couple of weeks. We have a round of golf to go play at the Virtues. He also picks up balls from Titleist, fan goodies, and more. So again, congratulations to Charles. We'll have another great prize package for you coming up next week. All right, we talked about it pretty much all morning long. Earlier this week, some major news from PGA Tour CEO Brian Rolapp. Here is some of what he had to say about what the tour will look like in 2028, and specifically with the two tiers, Championship and Challenger Series, and how he views the Challenger Series being much more than what some have initially labeled as a glorified Korn Ferry event.
Right now we have 47 events at the PGA Tour. We'll have 47 events going forward. That current model serves roughly 230 players. We'll serve that amount of players the same. We are just organized now in a more simple understanding competitively, so our fans can understand it, our partners know what they're getting as far as value. And so we think we've just organized the same tour into a much more interesting and competitive system. So if you look at the Challenger Series events, they'll be at venues you recognize. They'll be for healthy purses, which we announced today. They'll include a subset of those same 200 and change players that we have today. So that is much different than what the Korn Ferry Tour is today.
Brian, as I'm sure you know, golf is a sport of traditionalists, and in talking with a lot of them over the last few months, there's definitely been sort of like a through line of questions about the necessity of these changes. So I guess I just want to give you the opportunity to address those people. Why make these changes now?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think every sport has a tradition, and golf is no different, and golf is a rich one. And we've always said from the beginning, it's our job to honor that tradition, but not be overly bound by it. I think the best sports and the best sports organizations in the world operate that way. I think the reason for change has been pretty clear. I think if you talk to our fans, if you talk to our partners, they are all looking for improvement. And there's one thing I learned in my old job. Innovation is extremely important if you want to move a sport forward. And I think the PGA Tour is different. We also exist in a really competitive sports world. Whether you're competing for fans' attention, if you're competing for media dollars, which is the economic lifeblood of every sport in this country, you need to be constantly improving the product. And I think we looked around and we saw what we need to do to increase fans' attention and increase and create more value for our partners, and felt this was necessary. Golf has an amazing tradition of meritocracy, probably the best sport in the world that I can see about, you know, you earn what you earn, and you do it inside the ropes, and you're rewarded for it. And our athletes are conditioned that way. I think we got away from that. And one thing we heard consistently from fans and partners and even members of the PGA Tour, we need to get back to the meritocracy. I think this system delivers on that promise.
PGA Tour CEO Brian Rolapp. We will obviously have much more discussion about this the next year and a half as the PGA Tour evolves towards the future. It will definitely be different with many events happening simultaneously as we see now in certain weeks throughout the season. That'll put a wrap on this week's show. If you missed any of our conversations with John Cook, Gary Van Sickle, or Ryan Armour, just download the Tee to Green podcast and be sure to hit subscribe. Busy, busy day ahead here on the Fan. Fan Sports Saturday is next with Tito and Tim May. Reds Pirates later this afternoon. For Nate Puderball, I'm Skip Mossick. Enjoy the golf this weekend. We look forward to being at Scioto next week for the U.S. Senior Open and our next edition of Tee to Green right here on the Fan.
In church next Sunday to save me from those double bogey blues.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead.
Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The